Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're gearing up and heading into a world that's all about tradition, but is being completely reshaped by technology.
That's right. We're talking about high-tech, super specialized gear for the, you know, the really dedicated modern outdoorsman.
And our source material for this is really interesting. It's from the AHLA blog's 2019 Holiday Buyer's Guide.
And that's a critical detail, the AHLA part. This isn't just some general gear review site. This is an organization that's all about things like hunting lease insurance, vacant land insurance.
Guide and outfitter insurance.
Exactly. So they're looking at everything through a very specific lens.
The lens of risk.
Yeah.
Liability. It's not just, is this cool? It's, does this make the activity safer and more effective?
Precisely. So our mission here is to look at these items not as a shopping list, but to figure out what they tell us about the priorities of a modern hunter. I mean, if you're spending $140 on a harness, there's a reason.
Okay, let's unpack that because you see it right away. It's this fusion of tradition and total innovation, especially around, well, two things. Safety and scent.
And they are completely linked now, which brings us to the first and most expensive item on the list. It really just says it all.
Right. The Hunter Safety System, the HSS Pro Series with the LemmiShield, it comes in at $139.95.
And the source notes that this is a reintroduced model. So it's built on a design that's been trusted for, what, over 15 years?
Yeah, a patented design. So it's a core safety item, but now it's been, I guess, supercharged with new tech.
Well, and what's so fascinating is how they define safety now. It's not just about not falling. It's about stealth. It's about scent control.
Okay, so break that down. What's the tech?
The whole harness is treated with something called a LemmiShield Hunt Scent Control technology. And the key thing here is that it's designed to kill human odor before it even forms.
That's a huge step up from, you know, it's just spraying something on your clothes before you go out. But how durable is that? I mean, this gear goes through mud, rain, everything. Is it really a lifetime feature?
The source is very clear on that, which tells me it's a major, major selling point. The treatment lasts for the life of the harness.
Wow.
Yeah. And that really makes you think, right? It asks the question, just how critical is odor elimination if they're building it permanently into a core piece of safety equipment?
It's not an add-on anymore. Oh. It's fundamental. Scent has become one of the biggest risk factors. The risk of being detected and failing.
Exactly.
And on the safety side, there's comfort, too. I mean, if you're going to be in a tree stand for hours, you need gear that doesn't weigh you down.
Well, they address that. This new version is 40% lighter. 40%.
That's huge.
It's a game changer. Anyone who's hauled gear up a hill knows that. And, you know, it's not just about comfort. It's about fatigue. And fatigue leads to mistakes.
So from the AHLA's perspective, reducing fatigue is literally reducing liability.
It all connects.
The thing that really surprised me, though, was the power. This harness has a built-in USB port.
Right. To connect your phone or whatever to a battery pack.
In a safety harness. Why? Why would you need to be charging your phone 20 feet up in a tree?
Well, if you think about it from that preparedness angle, it makes perfect sense. Hunters rely on electronics now. GPS, for one.
Communication, weather apps.
Game cameras, all of it. If your phone dies, you could lose your navigation, your ability to call for help. It's a real problem. So integrating the power port into the harness, it's about building in redundancy.
It just acknowledges that tech is essential now, and it solves the problem of having cords and separate packs dangling all over the place. It's consolidation.
Right. And again, thinking like an insurer, it's proactive liability reduction. It ensures the hunter always has a lifeline, a map. It's not just a convenience.
Okay. So we're safe, we're scent free, we're powered up, but you still need this skill to actually succeed.
Yes. And that brings us to the most specialized precision instrument on this list.
The JT Calls CQ2 Duck Call. $115.
And right away, the source says this is meant to be the first call you reach for on your lanyard. That tells you it's about reliability, about performance under pressure. This is for the serious waterfowl hunter.
So for those of us who aren't, you know, dedicated duck hunters, let's break down the jargon here. It's a double reed call. What did that actually mean?
Okay, so a double reed call basically has two vibrating parts inside instead of one. Generally, that makes it easier to blow, more user-friendly, as they say.
Okay.
But the real advantage is that it gives you a ton of flexibility. You can create a much wider range of sounds, pitches, tones. And that's vital when you're trying to sound like a real animal.
And the sounds they describe are so specific. It's extremely raspy with a super squeaky feed call. Why a rasp? Why is that important?
That rasp is everything. It mimics the natural, slightly broken or hoarse sound of a female mallard. If a call is too perfect, too clean sounding, a duck can tell from a mile away it's fake. The rast is the realism.
So it's about adding that texture.
Exactly. And they get even more specific. They talk about creating Cajun squeals.
Right, which the source claims late season mallards can't resist. So this isn't just a general call. It's tailored for a very specific time of year when birds are wary.
And that gets to the heart of why it costs so much. It's about control, nuance. The call has to have big volume when you need it to get their attention from far away.
But then,
for the final approach, you need what they call an ultra-realistic, quiet bottom end.
Why the sudden shift from loud to quiet?
Think of it like a conversation. You might shout to get a friend's attention across a field, right?
Sure.
But to convince them to come over, you use a normal or even a quiet conversational tone up close. It's the same idea. The quiet, convincing sounds are what finish them all the way to the kill hole, as the source puts it. It's about bringing them right into the decoys.
So the price is for the instrument's ability to go from a shout to a whisper, basically.
That's the perfect way to put it. The control is what you're paying for.
Okay, let's shift from those primary tools to the support gear, the things that provide comfort and utility. A little more budget-friendly, but still all about durability.
Field comfort and self-sufficiency. Starting with the Yeti Rambler 24-ounce mug, $29.99.
Okay, a Yeti mug. I mean, we all know Yeti. What's the deep drive here, beyond just keeping your coffee hot?
It's in the little details the guide points out. Yes, it's double wall vacuum insulated, but the key phrase they use is that it's safe for camp, unlike glass.
Ah, there it is again. Liability reduction.
Precisely. In the field, broken glass is a serious risk. To you, to your dog, to your truck tires. So the Yeti isn't just a thermos. It's a piece of durable, risk-mitigating equipment. It's part of that self-sufficient mindset.
And that mindset carries right over to the next item, the 44 electric hand warmer. Also $29.99.
And what's so smart about this is the dual functionality. It's the ultimate example of redundancy.
It's not just a hand warmer.
No. First, yes, it's an ergonomic, double-sided hand warmer. Keeps your hands from freezing. But the critical part is its other job. It has a massive 7,800 milliamp-hour battery inside.
To charge your devices.
Anywhere, anytime. So let's say your main battery pack that you plugged into your HSS harness runs low.
Or you just forgot it.
Right. This little hand warmer becomes your backup power source. It keeps your phone, your GPS, your lifeline live.
It's all about having multiple redundant power sources. You never ever rely on just one.
It's rugged insurance for both your hands and your electronics.
Okay, so our final item moves us past the hunt itself and into the, well, the work that comes after.
The preparation.
Yeah.
The harvest. This is the Mossy Oak Field Dressing Kit for $51.99.
And the source just calls it everything you need to field dress your kill in one case.
Right. And if that harness was about the tech of the hunt, this kit is about the practical, ethical mechanics of the harvest. You just have to look at the inventory to see the level of specialization required.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Because you see this list and think, why do you need 5 different cutting tools? It seems like overkill.
It's about preserving the resource and maintaining hygiene. I mean, you've got an 8 and 34-inch wooden bone saw. Okay, that's straightforward.
Right.
But then you have a 7.5-inch caping knife and a 9.5-inch gut hook skinner. Those are two very different, very specialized tools.
What's the difference between them?
The caping knife is not for meat. That's a delicate precision tool used to separate the skin from around the skull and face to preserve a trophy for a mount. Just including that signals a real commitment to the whole process.
Okay, so that's for preservation. What about the gut hook?
The gut hook skinner is all about efficiency and safety. It lets you open the abdomen without puncturing the internal organs, which is critical to avoid contaminating the meat.
So one for precision, one for clean, fast work.
You got it. And then you've also got a steel stick or brisket spreader to help the carcass cool quickly, and a 10-inch boning knife. The work starts right there in the field.
And it all wraps up with tools for maintenance and hygiene.
Of course. A tungsten carbide sharpener, so your tools are always ready, and Red Game cleaning gloves. That focus on hygiene is critical. The whole kit just screams preparedness and self-reliance.
Yeah, this whole deep dive.
Yeah.
It's painted a really clear picture. From the harness that kills your scent, to the call that whispers to a specific species, to a kit that has a tool for every single step of the harvest. It's about extreme dedication.
Absolutely. We started by saying this guide came from an insurance-focused source, and you can see that in every single item: durability, specific function, and total self-sufficiency.
Right. The ability to sharpen your own knives, charge your own devices, stay hidden. You're building your own autonomous system for the field.
It's an investment in preparedness that minimizes risk and maximizes your chance of success.
Which I guess that leads us to our final thought for you, listener, to consider.
We've seen how safety has become this integrated, multi-layered system. It's in the harness, sure, but it's also in the unbreakable coffee mug. So think about this. How does that level of visible dedication to safety and preparedness affect perception? Does all this high-tech, proactive safety gear, the harness, the clean dressing kits, all of it, does it act as a kind of public relations buffer?
You're saying that by investing so much in being safe and ethical, it sends a signal to the outside world that the dedicated outdoorsman is a highly responsible professional, not some casual amateur. Mm. And maybe that helps manage the public risk or the perception of risk associated with the activity itself.
The preparedness goes far beyond just what happens in the field. It might even extend into the cultural conversation around the whole thing. It's something to mull over.
A fascinating point. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.